Hey, 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 thanks again for pressing play, and welcome once again to another edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. Coming to you live from the Footprint Center, downtown Phoenix, my name is John Boyd, a managing editor, Bright Side of the Sun, and co-host of the Suns Jam Session Podcast, here to talk to you today about the game between the Phoenix Suns and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics enter on a two-game losing streak. The Suns enter on a two-game winning streak. Something's got to give. Do both teams go to 3-0 and 0-3, or do some streaks get snapped tonight? Well, some streaks get snapped tonight. The Phoenix Suns lose 117-107 against the best team in the NBA. There's a lot of things we need to talk about. Now, Matthew's not here tonight, but that's okay. Have no fear. Suns Geek is here. If it has to do with the Phoenix Suns, he's going to make a video about it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Brandon, a.k.a. Suns Geek. Geek, how you doing? Thanks for joining me, brother.
Wow, what an introduction that was. Thank you so much for having me, man. Thank you so much for collaborating with me once again, live on both channels, by the way. And yeah, we definitely got lots to talk about tonight, man.
Yeah, an interesting game hosting Boston. First time we've seen them this season, but it will be the first time that we will see them out of three games because we play them in a couple games. So plenty to talk about. A reminder to everybody who's watching along live, whether you're on Suns Geek's channel or the Suns Jam Session channel, hit the thumbs up button. You know, do us a favor, hit the subscribe button if you really like to. I'm using the cell phone, so if I do this, you'll see fireworks behind me. Isn't that a beautiful addition that the iPhone has?
I was wondering how you did that.
if you're listening, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you're going to give us a 4-star, don't bother giving us a review. If you're on Spotify, give us 5 stars. If you're going to give us 4, don't bother giving us a review. That's just how it goes. Are you drinking with me tonight, Suns fan?
I definitely am, man. I'm on spring break, man. I'm on vacation, yes. So I'm drinking, man.
All right. Well, I'm drinking a Diet Coke here at the stadium. So you drink that Coors Light. We'll pop them. That crisp on. And let's talk about an interesting game against the Boston Celtics. To Phoenix and beat the Phoenix Suns, a final score of 117-107. This brings me to my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
Oi, Suns Geek, I've got to ask. How'd the Suns lose this game?
Turnovers. And did I mention turnovers? And also something, you know, where like when you shoot a three, the ball doesn't go in the rim. You know what I mean? Oh, and I think another reason they lost this game is because certain role players and certain starters just didn't play that well tonight. It was like Kevin Durant was carrying a giant backpack and he was carrying all the little Phoenix Suns back there. And even though there were a few, you know, bright spots here and there, just wasn't enough. It literally was Kevin Durant carrying a giant backpack, and he did all he could, and it just wasn't enough, man. I know that was a short answer, but it's the truth.
It's 100% right. Kevin Durant was Luke Skywalker tonight, and the rest of the Phoenix Suns were Yoda, and this is Empire Strikes Back, and he's training, and he's got him going up and down the swamps of, I forget the name of the planet that they went to, and ultimately, it just didn't work out. Kevin Durant, masterclass tonight, which we will talk about here very shortly. But you needed role players and the bench to do something in this game. Royce O'Neal, 3 points. 1 of 9 shooting, 1 of 6 from three. Not what you needed. Grayson Allen, 7 points. 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. You're down Devin Booker. And you know that you're going to need all the firepower necessary to beat a quality Boston Celtics team. And I think the Celtics had the right strategy in this game. Their strategy was make it hard on Durant as hard as you can, knowing that he's one of the most elite scorers the game has ever seen. But don't allow his teammates to be comfortable. When you look at the last two games for the Phoenix Suns, in which Grayson Allen went off. He had 9 3-pointers last game against the Raptors. He had eight 3-pointers against the Raptors, 9 against Denver. The great defensive backcourt that the Celtics possess in Derek White and Drew Holiday knew that, hey, if we could take Grayson out of this game, that is going to do wonders for allowing us to win this game. Closeouts is something that I saw was spectacular. I thought Derek White was absolutely fantastic in this game. He ended with 10 points. He ended with 9 assists, I'm sorry. But his closeout backside weak side defense was spectacular. The way that he navigated the pick and roll in the two-man game, taking advantage of Yusuf Nurkic and Eric Gordon and
Royce O'Neal,
making Luke Kornet look amazing.
Yeah.
At different points in the game, he just found the right way to take advantage of the Suns and to make the winning plays that were necessary for Boston to win this one by 10.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right, man. That's why they're just so well coached. They are so well executed. Even without Porzingis, like tonight, for example, it just goes to show how deep that team really is. And they are a finals contender and probably will be in the finals, assuming everything goes right and they stay healthy for a reason. And that's one reason I was kind of scared of tonight's game. I mean, what, they're first in offense or something like that? Second in defense. We saw the length and the size and the versatility of that team tonight. And again, like, who would have thought that Derek White would have this like renaissance, if you will, and become pretty much a borderline all-star? Like, whether you love or hate JJ Redick, there's a reason he's hyping him up, you know, a bunch of times on his podcast and everything. But it started early, specifically with Derek White, like when he had that little kind of come from behind block where he kind of blocked it like this, you know what I mean? Like, he's just absolutely incredible, man. And again, you know, when Luke Kornet of all players is having a really good game, especially in the first half, you know, it's going to be a long night for the Phoenix Suns. And I know this doesn't really sum up the game entirely. You know, Kevin Durant was obviously carrying us tonight, but I think a good example of how poorly this game kind of went for the Phoenix Suns was the Phoenix Suns opened up the fourth quarter with a zone defense and it led to back-to-back Celtics threes. Like, it's just, it seemed like every single time the Suns would counter with something, the Celtics would flip that back on us. It was like we're playing checkers, they're playing chess pretty much.
Yeah, and that's why the Celtics are the best team in the NBA. I mean, there's no secret as to why the Boston Celtics are an amazing basketball team. And it's fun to see how the Suns play against that as a barometer, because it really kind of puts perspective into what some of the Suns' strengths are and some of the weaknesses. And, you know, you mentioned turnovers. It wasn't the worst turnover night for the Suns. They ended, I think, with like 15.
Yeah.
But they did allow 16 points off of those turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, 12 turnovers for the Celtics resulted in just 8 points for the Suns. It's because they have, as you mentioned, you know, there's just such a great defensive team. Yeah. In the Celtics. And Derek White is somebody who comes from the school of Greg Popovich. So he's going to be somebody who is fundamentally sound, plays tenaciously, is longer than I think people think. Like, I was down underneath the stadium right next to all the Celtics as they were walking out. I was like, shit, there's two things I noticed. I'm like, Derek White is longer and taller than I thought, and Jaylen Brown's smaller than I thought. I was like, that's interesting. And Jason Tatum, just a fucking beast of a human being. But the Celtics are a good measuring stick, and unfortunately, this is one thing that I like, and take some solace in this, Suns fans. And I don't think that anybody's truly upset, because I don't think anybody had expectations of us truly winning this game. But take some solace in the fact that what Boston does isn't replicable by multiple teams in the NBA. So as we prepare to set out on a 4-game road trip, right, starts in Cleveland on Monday. We go to Boston next Thursday. Charlotte's in that road trip, and I forget who it ends with. But if you are an advanced scout that they've sent out here to watch this game as their team prepares to play the Phoenix Suns, you're not going to take a whole bunch from what they did because what the Celtics do as such a complete team is hard to replicate. And you're right. Every time the Suns did something, there were the Celtics had an answer in the long run. The Suns put together a 9-0 run, get it to within 3 points at 77-74. And the Celtics respond with a 21-10 run. And that was kind of the ball game right there. It's the shoulder between the third quarter and the fourth quarter. There's about 6 minutes in there, last three of the third, first three of the fourth, that were really, really important because Vogel had to pull guys out, right? Frank Vogel had to make some decisions and give guys rest. He had to give Beal rest. He had to give KD a little rest. So the first drop of the night, yeah, we're going to go with the head coach. Feel free to dance, Suns Geek. That is the longest fucking drop.
It would have been fun to dance if this was like a well-coached Frank Vogel game. You know what I mean?
So that's my question to you. Tell me about your observations on Frank Vogel's coaching. Because I see a lot of people in the chat. I see a lot of them are frustrated with some of the moves that Vogel made. I have my certain kind of points and opinions on it, but I want to hear it from you, Geek.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Everything is Frank Vogel's fault. Frank Vogel is playing 5-on-1 out there. Frank Vogel's the worst coach in the NBA. Okay, are you happy, Frank Vogel haters? Anyways, in all seriousness, though, I'm a little torn on this because a little bit of what Frank Vogel does or has done, maybe did in this game specifically, kind of reminds me a little bit of what Monty Williams would do. And I feel like, and look, let's be real. We're probably going to talk about it later, but like we have a lot of injuries right now and everything. But like rewarding players like Saben Lee, who I am a fan of. I think Saben Lee plays hard out there, but he's literally a liability on offense. And giving David Roddy kind of extended minutes, I don't really understand that. And maybe having a little too much trust in Drew Eubanks. I don't know. Just I guess the best way to explain it, even though Drew Eubanks has actually been playing okay over the last couple games, like, I don't know if he just has too much trust in these guys. I'm not really like using Frank Vogel as my scapegoat, if you will. But I have noticed as the season's gone on, especially post All-Star break, that some of his rotations and decisions, if you will, are a little bit questionable. Not sure if that really answers your question, but I'm noticing as the games go on, I'm like, why is this lineup out here? What's Frank Vogel doing, man?
So really, Frank Vogel's in the chat and he's watching us. He gave us $5 in the super chat. So thanks, coach. I apologize for some of the things that Suns Geek just said. And I apologize for some of the things that I'm about to say. No, I'm with Aussie Suns fans right here. And real quick, Aussie Suns fan says, stop blaming Vogel. He didn't go 1 of 12 from three.
Preach.
Start blaming the Aussie Suns fans because these motherfuckers had another watch party.
I noticed
and
that.
And they didn't post anything about it. It's like, guys, if you're going to have watch parties, fucking tell me so I know not to get my expectations high. Like, I would have stayed at home. Like, I would have known it was a loss. And I'm just kidding. Boston was in town. I'm going to go to this fucking game. But here's my question, okay? And I want to see kind of what the chat says here. So I'm going to ask this question kind of holistically to everybody. And I want to know what your thoughts are on this. Because you said, like, okay, maybe a little too much trust in Drew Eubanks. I can agree with you to an extent, and that's where potentially Thaddeus Young could play, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so I agree with that one. I agree with, like, you know, you put Eubanks out there for the first rotational push, and if you don't feel like he's got it, then pull a different lever because that lever is available. The challenge I have is, like, Saben Lee. Now, Saben only played 4 minutes in this game because the first 3 minutes that he played were god disaster. Fucking awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, two missed threes, line drive threes. He had an offensive foul, and then he got his ass blocked by Drew Holiday, okay? So he was out of there. But here's my question. Who else do they have?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, with the injuries and especially everything tonight, you only have so many, you know, bodies you can go to, which is the Thaddeus Young just being completely benched, playing 0 minutes makes no sense to me. I mean, at some point you got to go with somebody else. And again, I'm rooting for Saben Lee. I was literally texting my friend the other day. I'm like, dude, he plays hard out there, man. Like, like I said, offensive liability. I don't care. He plays hard. He can get to the line, but you're right. Those 3 minutes or 4 minutes were pretty disastrous. He looked frustrated out there, and I'm glad he got benched early.
And that's the challenge that we have right now with Booker out, with Okogie out. And that's the key, because with Okogie being out, that's a lot of minutes that the Suns don't have available.
And defense.
And Nasir Little's out. And obviously Damon Lee's been out all season. So like, I'm with you, Suns fans. When I see Saban Lee come in the game, and I know, like, if Matthew was here, he would sit here and tell me how great Saban Lee is. And I'll even play his drop because we're talking about him.
Mr. Lee, you are cleared for takeoff.
But Saban Lee is not the answer, but it's the only answer that Vogel has right now. So people are dogging his rotations, but like the only other thing is like, okay, you played Bradley Beal like 45 minutes out of the game. It's just, Unfortunately, it's the state of the Suns right now due to injuries. You have a Kogi back and or Devin Booker. That changes the rotations and the players that are available. Now, I do agree, you know, Frank, you're in the chat, you're watching. Man, I wish you would have played Thad Young a little bit because Eubanks didn't necessarily have it. But that's not what changed the game. That's not what lost this game, were the Drew Eubanks minutes in this game. He played 11 minutes. He was a negative 20. He had the worst plus minus.
But, you know, I feel like Drew Eubanks gets way too much hate, man. Like, if you go back and watch those last couple of games, he actually played really well and was a contributing factor in a lot of those games. Like, yeah, he's had some bad games here and there, but Suns Twitter just dogs on him and trashes this guy. I'm like, dude, he's not like a Landry Shamet out there. Like, the dude fucking plays hard, sets hard screens and everything. I'm just like, dude, like, what is this hate with Drew Eubanks, man? Like, we would have traded him if he was that bad, dude.
The reason the hate exists is because everyone wants to see Thad Young.
Exactly.
And it's because Thad is the new toy. We haven't seen very much of him. And whenever something doesn't go right, you start to go, well, what other option could have existed, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge. But it does beg the question, like, has Drew Eubanks entered that scary zone, that place that nobody wants to go?
You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of bricks and of boards, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of stagnation. That's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Shamet Zone.
The Shamet Zone, for those of you who don't know, is when a player becomes unconfident in themselves. Landry Shamet had issues with this a lot during his playing career with the Phoenix Suns, where he came here as somebody who was expected to hit the three ball and be somebody who could be productive off the bench. There's like a whole group out there and they're talking. So I'm sorry if the audio is a little funky here, folks. I'm still here. You know, I got... So my apologies. But that's the issue that I'm having with Drew Eubanks right now, is he is playing unconfidently in certain aspects of his game. And when that, and as the game goes along, Eubanks does get better, I've noticed. But those first 4 or 5 minutes, that first rotation that he comes in, he's happy feeting it around. He's just not as productive as you potentially want. And again, I think it's part of the new Sun syndrome. You want to see a guy who you brought in to be a defensive assister, if you will, and also somebody who can rebound the ball. And because we haven't seen Thad Young, anytime that Drew Eubanks has negative minutes, you're going to get negative Drew Eubanks talk.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, man. But I responded to somebody in the chat. I'm like, Thaddeus Young's played like one or two games. Like, I want to see him, man. Like, kind of how you were saying, like, the shiny new toy. I want to see the shiny new toy because some of our role players just aren't getting it done, man, especially with all these injuries. I don't know why we're not playing Thad Young. That's all I have to say.
Well, it's probably because he's a buyout guy.
Yeah.
And he's super old. Like, that's just kind of the why. Like, buyout guys don't change your fucking season, fans. I have to remind you.
I have to say that, too, because there's so many people on Twitter that, like, this player is going to save our season, and we need to go get this guy. I'm like, dude, that guy hasn't played in, like, 2 or 3 years. And I'm talking about the Otto Porters and the John Walls. Like, those guys are not saving our team.
Correct.
Annoying.
A guy who can save our team.
Who the heck are you?
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
Oh, Kevin Durant, you beautiful bastard. You 45 points tonight, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. Did have the 6 turnovers because that's KD. But 18 of 26 from the field. 5 of 7 from the free throw line and 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. A masterclass. And I know I probably use that word a little too often, but I did write in the recap for Bright Side of the Sun, a KD masterclass was wasted tonight because he looked absolutely fantastic against a tough, tough defensive team in Boston. What did you see, Suns Geek, from KD tonight?
Absolutely incredible shot making. And I know that's like cliche analysis, but it's true. 18 for 26. Guys, Kevin Durant is 35 years old. He had 45 points in 37 minutes. Let me repeat that. 45 points in 37 minutes on 18 for 26 shooting. Go back and watch that like little stretch run when we were down and he just literally, not just offensively, but defensively carried us back into the game, man. Kevin freaking Durant. Again, this goes back to last February, 2023, when you made that KD trade. This is exactly why, because the man is arguably, if not one of the greatest scorers, players of all time, top 10 easily. We've never seen anything like Kevin Durant. And he reminded us all again why. And he's only 35, and I'm so glad he's on this Phoenix Suns team.
Yeah, the level of shot making was elite tonight. And that's a challenge that he has all the time, right? He's going to have to take difficult shots because of the way that defenses play him, but he can still make them. Again, the challenge with the turnovers is big, right? I mean, they have 15 turnovers, 6 of those come off of Kevin Durant. But I'm not mad because that's the trade-off that you get from him. But man, it's fun to watch him play basketball. It's just fun to watch him play basketball night in and night out. Now, Saul H. Soto has an interesting question in the chat, and I feel like a lot of people are having some frustrations with KD because he ends up playing a lot of isolation basketball. And the question is this: KD is great, but does he make the team better? It's an interesting question. What do you think about that, Brandon?
I mean, I don't know what our record is with him. And again, we're only what in, this isn't even year two. Like, this is like year one sort of still. Like, it's a carryover from year one, if you think about it. I would say yes. I think he does. Because again, the dude's just an elite player, an elite shot maker. And I feel like you don't make a trade for Kevin Durant if you're not going all in for a championship. Now, I know that there's a lot of McHale and Cam stands and all that. I'm not saying Saul's one of those people, but like, I think he does make the team better. Now, that's still yet to be determined because we don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. I'll just put it this way. If we don't win a championship with Kevin Durant, then yeah, he didn't make the team better. But I mean, we're still in this trial. We're still going through it with Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? Not really sure if that answers your question, but yeah.
I'll make this nice and easy. Abso-fucking-lutely he does. He's Kevin Durant. You know who he is. Now, I get it. The isolation ball can drive people nuts a little bit from time to time.
And the turnovers.
And the turnovers. I understand that. But you need to have an elite talent to win in this league.
Exactly.
Right? You need to have a guy who in the last 5 minutes of the game, you can give to him and you have confidence that he's going to make the shot. That's Kevin fucking Durant. That's why you have him here. Would you ever rather have Mikal Bridges, who's like – leading away in Brooklyn right now and has having
the vibes
crisis
with Cam and the Twins.
Yeah. And it was great. And don't get me wrong, it was great. And it was a building block to what we are now. Oh God. Can you hear that?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. I'm making a really good point. This guy's really fucking me over here. The challenge, like, yeah, go out one away to everybody.
Yeah. I have a segment I can do while he's talking.
Do a segment. Segment, and cool, I'm going to come back to Kevin Durant.
Cool. All right, guys. So I meant to talk to John about this prior to the show. There was a little bit of a mix-up. I thought I was recording with Matthew tonight. So I was telling Matthew what I wanted to do in terms of segments, and I'm not going to spend too
like
much time on this.
Or
I know. I didn't know, dude. I didn't know who I was recording with tonight, but I wanted to talk to you guys about, and again, we're going to get back to KD and the rest of the game and all that good stuff whenever John or whenever that guy's done talking anyways.
Yeah, he shut up finally.
Okay, cool. Go ahead. I do have some segments that I want to touch on. We don't have to spend too much time on it.
Let me finish my KD point and then we'll go to what you're going to talk about. But absolutely, KD makes his team better. Again, I can understand frustrations that you have, but we can't be those fans. Okay, because I'll talk about on the subreddit Stakeout where all they did was dog Jason Tatum all fucking night. You guys should be thankful that we have Kevin Durant on this team. His elite shot making. Yeah, like, you know what happens tonight? If his teammates make the fucking shots, when the gravity that he pulled in and he passes it to Royce O'Neal and Royce O'Neal goes 1 of 9 from the field, KD doesn't make his team better because he's passing to wide open guys and they're not hitting it. Grayson Allen 0-4 from beyond the arc. That's not on KD. He did his job. He got them open. They have to hit those shots. So I get the frustration that people can have time to time because of turnovers, okay? But if that's the price we have to pay for 45 points, if that's the price that we have to pay to have somebody next to Devin Booker, so you have two, nay, with Bradley Beal, three guys with under 5 minutes who can go down and can create their own shot, like, do you guys know what it's like to not have a guy who can create its own shot? Don't you dare fucking give up on what Kevin Durant is as a fan. Don't, because we know what's on the other side. We know what it's like to have Devin Booker out there with a bunch of guys who can't create their own shots and how ugly kind of basketball that is and how he has to be forced to do everything offensively. And guess what? Nobody wins because of it. So, yeah, there's times of the game in which the ball movement stops a little bit. Whoop the fucking do. It happens on every team. Okay, every team does it because their stars take over and run isolation sets. It's basketball. You're not going to run purely isolation. You're not going to run purely team basketball. You do a hybrid of both, and that's how you become a successful offensive team. But Kevin Durant, does make the team better? I love you, Saul. You're here every fucking after every post game podcast, man. You're a real one. But my answer, absolutely, he does. Okay.
Yeah. I regret answering that question the way I did. I wish I would have just went off on a giant rant like you did. One more thing just to add to that, and it's not going to top off your amazing rant, but Kevin Durant scored or assisted on 18 points in the third quarter. You know, and I'm not saying Mikhail and Cam never did that, but that makes the team better. And again, just go back and watch that stretch when he legit put the Suns on his back and just carried us to that little comeback before we collapsed. Stop hating on Kevin Durant. Move on from the Twins. Appreciate the greatness that we have.
Michael Kolb says, Boston doesn't play ISO, though, John. That's why they're number one. Absolutely they do. They've got Jason Tatum and they got Jaylen Brown. They run isolation in the fourth quarter all the fucking time. That's one of the biggest dogs that people have with Jason Tatum is he runs isolation in the fourth quarter, and instead of attacking the basket, he's taking step-back threes and missing them. So I'm just saying. So tell me, hit me with your segment, Suns Geek. What do you got?
So, again, we don't have to spend too much time on this. Again, there was a little bit of confusion earlier, but, and look, I'm a couple days late on this. I meant to make a video, but, you know, I'm a one-man show over here. I'm tired. I just wanted to make a quick little segment here, and I'm sure we can talk about them. This can kind of still tie into the podcast because both of these guys weren't good tonight. I'm sure you know where this is going, but Matt Ishbia said during the Phoenix Suns All-Star announcement, you know, 2027 All-Star being in Phoenix. And I'm reading his quote here that we hope and expect to have both of these guys back along with keeping this core team together because we love our team and we're going to compete at the highest level and hopefully in the playoffs and very soon see them all play together. And he's talking about Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal. Now, I know everybody's like, oh, the second tax apron salary cap that I didn't care about earlier. No, Matt Ishbia doesn't give a fuck. He's going to pay these guys, and he absolutely needs to do it, especially Grayson Allen. That was a little small segment I wanted to go on. So just trust in Matt Ishbia, the front office. They're going to bring back Grayson Allen. They have to bring back Grayson Allen. I know that he had a bad game tonight, but this dude has been instrumental to what the Phoenix Suns have done this season. And if the 16 three-pointers in the last two games didn't prove that, I don't know what will. And Royce O'Neal, again, had a bad game tonight. But beyond that, he's been pretty damn fantastic this season. So when I heard that from Matt Ishbia, I was like, damn, dude, I got to either go live and talk about that or do a quick video or do it right here because that's some big news in my personal opinion.
And it's absolutely the right answer for the Phoenix Suns. This guy. Go up to 108, everybody. All right, everyone up to 108, okay? Just get the fuck off the court. All right. Absolutely, it's the right move for the Phoenix Suns, and it's the best way to develop and build this roster. They tried earlier this season to put young, prove-it guys out there around their big three. The Kade Bates, the Ops, the Yuta Watanabes, the Chimezie Metus, the Jordan Goodwins, the guys who – they thought, hey, we put young, hungry, athletic, long guys out here. They're going to produce for our team, and they're going to be out there fighting because they want to get that next contract. So we're going to put them in a situation where they can be successful. Well, guess what? They weren't successful because of the tentative nature in which they were playing with. They were playing next to great superstars, so they weren't, and I've said this numerous times, they weren't playing to make the right play. They were playing to not make the wrong play, so they played scared. So Grayson Allen, you don't have that issue. Royce O'Neal, you don't have that issue. Those guys are confident in who they are and what their identity is in this league. So those are the type of guys that James Jones realized halfway through the season, shit, I got to press reset. I'm moving forward. Hey, Ishbia, this is how we're going to have to build this roster out over the next three seasons, is put confident players, veteran players, around our big three if we want to have any chance of being successful. And you're seeing that. And, yeah, Royce O'Neal had a bad game tonight, man. 1 of 9 from the field, okay? Yeah. But you look at the way that he stuffs the stat sheet outside of tonight, and he's his offensive rebounding, his defensive rebounding, his steals. I mean, he still had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and he had a steal in this. And he was the best, he was a team best plus 10 out there tonight, even though that doesn't really matter, the plus minus. So he contributes night in and night out. And knowing that when everything's right in the world, he's coming off the bench, that's unbelievably huge because it unlocks not only a good second team unit, but it unlocks some very interesting roster combinations for this team at different stretches in the game. And he's somebody who you're confident in putting out there with your final five to close out games. So love that Matt Ishbia is willing to invest in this team. The All-Star game is coming here in 2027, which is another huge win for the Phoenix community. We might have our qualms over what the game is. That's the All-Star game and the events around. But when you bring that to your city, you're bringing money into the city. You're bringing positive things for your community. And that's what Ishbia cares about. He's decided to take this franchise and try to make Phoenix a pure destination. It's like we drafted the perfect fantasy owner. And, it's strange to go from somebody who is afraid to rub two nickels together because of friction, not alone lead a toxic culture within his front office, to go to a guy who's just win after win after. I can't even count all the things that Ishbia has done right. But this is another example of him going above and beyond and doing the thing that's in the best interest of not only the organization, but the fan base as well. So it's easy to get behind this team and know that this is a process. It's going to take time to get where we want to go. But, man, great decision by Ishbia. And a funny comment when he's like, what's the sax apron? I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, another thing I love about Matt Ishbia, and I've said this so many times, I feel like it kind of gets overlooked, what he's doing for just sort of the culture and the community of Phoenix as well. Like, I have a friend who works for Footprint Center. And she's met Matt Ishbia, you know what I mean? Like the little changes he's even doing for just the employees of Footprint Center is like beyond what you know who, I'm not even going to say his name, did. You know what I mean? It's just shout out to Matt Ishbia, man. Like, I know that fans love to criticize the KD and Beal trades. And I know all these people are going to be coming out of the gates if things don't go our way this season, but it's year one. It's like I was saying earlier with the Kevin Durant thing. We're still like in year one or year two with this Kevin Durant big three, you know, change with this team is going to take time. And I remember when I was on our friends, the PHNX podcast, it was me and Espo. We were talking. We were like, this is a 2 to 3 year window. You know what I mean? It's like, we may not win the championship this year. Like, yeah, I want us to win. I believe we can win, but are we going to win? I don't know. But it's a 2 to 3 year window. And with the little moves, like even just something as small as the Royce O'Neal move, little moves like that, Matt Ishbia can go into this offseason and be like, all right, we're going to tweak some things here, change some things up, and then bam, we're right back in it. So it's like you said, like it takes time. We'll see what happens. And shout out to Matt Ishbia, man. He deserves nothing but just 110% credit, all the flowers, all the praise in the world, because he literally saved our franchise.
No, I completely agree. And we needed it so bad. We needed it so bad. Got another great question in the chat. Thank you to everybody who's watched along live, whether you're doing so on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review on the Suns Geek channel and the Suns Jam Session YouTube channels. It's the best way to support the podcast. John Nelson asks in the chat, he goes, Eubanks, terrible blocking out. Why can't Odzabuke play? What are your thoughts on this, Suns Geek? Yeah, for those of you who are listening on the Suns Jam Session podcast, Suns Geek went, put his hand in his face, you know. So tell me why that reaction.
Because this is not NBA 2K, and that doesn't mean a bigger body with a longer wingspan is going to produce better results. Just not happening, man. He was inactive tonight for a reason. Maybe that's because he's on a two-way contract. And two-way players are not going to save this team. No offense to Saben Lee, because, again, I'm rooting for Saben Lee. But, again, we tried the I call him Udoka because I can't pronounce his last name. We tried the Udoka experiment. He showed a couple flashes here and there. He got pulled out of the rotation early, and sometimes I forget he's even on the team. No offense to him. I'm sure he's a nice guy, and I'm sure he plays his tail off, but I don't know.
Here's the reason why, and it's simple, okay? Saban Lee is a two-way contract player, and he's playing because of injuries right now. Exactly. With Devin Booker out, with Nasir Little out, with Damon Lee out all season, and with Josh Okogie out, like I said earlier in the podcast, the minutes need to be filled by somebody. And it was only 4 minutes to Saban Lee tonight because he was garbage. Mm-hmm. The reason you don't play Udoka Azubuike is simple. You need to allow Drew Eubanks an opportunity to figure it out. Okay? Preach. Because guess which one of between him and Udoka Azubuike are going to be on your playoff roster? It ain't Drew the two-way Eubanks. Player guy. So you're not going to sit there with less than 25% of the season to go and bench Eubanks so Udoka Azubuike can go out there and get some reps in, because now you shattered the confidence of a guy who's already playing kind of unconfident. Now, again, I agree that Thaddeus Young, who is smaller than Eubanks, should have an opportunity to get out there and get some reps, okay? Because that guy is going to be available for your postseason roster. But Udoka Azubuike ain't it. He's not the answer there. So I get it. And, again, every time the Suns team loses, anybody who doesn't play is going to be questioned by the fan base as to why they didn't get minutes, I'm surprised no one's be like, well, where's Ish Wainwright? Why is he not out there playing?
Save our season, Ish Wainwright.
The best guy off the bench tonight, though, no question.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird! It's a plane! It's...
Boom, boom, motherfucker.
Bull, bull tonight ends with only 10 minutes played, but he had 13 points on 6 of 7 shooting, including 1 of 2 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds as well, including an offensive rebound. Easily the best player on the bench tonight. The bench scored a total of 16 points against the Celtics tonight. Bol Bol had 13 of them, Suns Geek. Tell me what you saw from our favorite bench player now.
From Phoenix Suns superstar Bol Bol. At least he did something and produced out there. I don't even care if Bol Bol would have went like 5 for 30 this game. At least the guy contributed, played hard, showed a lot of effort and consistency out there. I think one of his first possessions was an open three he made. Then he had that beautiful little up and under. And then after that, I feel like he got off more points and everything. He tried out there, man. And again, I know it's not all about the stats and everything, but he was our leading bench score off the bench, just continues to get minutes. And even though I was kind of giving Frank Vogel a hard time for trusting certain players, at least Frank Vogel keeps going to Bol Bol and trying and trusting him out there. I will give Frank Vogel a little credit for that. Now, look, is Bol Bol obviously the answer going forward off the bench? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But I don't know if I expected this when we first got him, you know what I mean? So I'm happy for Bol Bol, and at least he produced out there.
I didn't expect for this from him at all. I mean,
I know you didn't.
Pretty adamant on record being anti Bol Bol, and it didn't make sense. He's in the rotation. Come postseason, he has to be in the rotation.
Yeah.
Does he have some defensive opportunities relative to how he rotates and understanding what defenses are opposing offenses are trying to do to him? Absolutely. Yeah. But what he's been doing on offense, what he's been doing from a shot deterrent standpoint on defense, what he's been doing from a rebounding standpoint. I mean, to come in and consistently give you 10 to 13 points and a few boards, that's what you need right now. That's the challenge that this team has had throughout the season, is where they don't have consistency coming off the bench. And so if they've got somebody who's giving them consistent minutes, I'm all about it. So a great performance by Bol Bol. I want to get your thoughts on the David Roddy minutes.
There he is! There's the Roddy one! There is Roddy!
6 total minutes from Roddy the Body, and he was 1 of 5 from the field and 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. And it was unfortunate because a couple of those threes came at a vital time in this game when the Suns had finally closed it down to a 3-point deficit, and they had a couple possessions in which they stopped the Celtics, and they could have tied or at least had a 1-point deficit. Roddy took some Saban Lee-esque line drive 3-pointers. Wasn't really a fan of that. He kind of looks like a player in the middle to me, right? He's got a wide body, but due to his shortness, he doesn't really do a good job bodying anybody up or being effective rebounding. Couldn't shoot the ball tonight. What do you see from David Roddy and his two total points?
Not very much. And I feel like if it wasn't for those two back, I believe it was back-to-back missed threes at a very crucial time in the game, maybe I'd be talking about David Roddy in a better light, if you will. But I didn't really see much. And really, when he's out there in general, I don't really see much. He kind of just goes to the corner, launches the three. And I respect the confidence. Like, I understand why you would want to shoot, especially on a team like this. But, you know, he is what he is at this point. He's just a big body out there. No pun intended. I'm sure he plays hard. I'm sure he is a pesk on defense in practice. But he's coming off the bench for a reason. I will say this, though. There was one specific play where Jason Tatum, he had to kind of close out on Jason Tatum. Tatum took him up, and he kind of threw his body, and he put his hands up, and Tatum missed. But again, that didn't save the game. It was noticeable, though. I was like, all right. But beyond that, didn't really show much. And I'm sure he's a pesk in practice. I'm sure he works his tail off. But I don't know, man.
So, Suns fans, I hope you just heard everything that Suns Geek said, because there were games where the Suns lost, like against Houston. And people were saying, well, where's David Roddy? Right? Everything that you're saying in the chat, well, where's Thad? Where's Udoka? Like, just because you lose doesn't mean everybody needs to play. And David Roddy's a good example of that. He's, as you mentioned, he there's some challenges that he has. And just because, like, everybody can't play. It drives me nuts. One guy who did play, and the only other guy who had more than 20 points in this game.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley. Boom, boom.
10 of 20 for the field for Bradley Beal. Ended with 25 points. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. He had 4 assists. He had 3 steals. He only had 1 turnover. They made it hard on Bradley Beal in this game. They definitely did. The Celtics and that swarming defense, that's what they did. They forced him to take a lot of difficult shots, and that's why his shooting percentage was only 50%. We needed another 10 points from him. It just came without the support around Kevin Durant from the other ancillary players. You needed him to be just a little bit better tonight.
I know it's not this simple, because again, this isn't NBA 2K, but it's true. Like, if we would have maybe gotten an extra 10 points from Bradley Beal tonight, maybe this game would have swung in our favor, or at least maybe we would have went into overtime or something like that. But they did an absolutely incredible job of just kind of swarming Bradley Beal, getting him out of his rhythm, if you will. And I will say, I feel like the shot making from Bradley Beal and the Suns in general got better as the game went on, because wasn't he like really struggling in the first half in terms of shooting? So I will give Bradley Beal
11.
Yeah, like, I will give Bradley Beal a little credit for that. I mean, he raised his shooting percentage, but we just need more from him. And I know that everyone's going to look at his contract and be like, we're paying this guy $100 trillion dollars, and he's putting up these numbers. But, dude, this guy's suffered multiple injuries this season. He's still working out the kinks with this team. And, again, no Devin Booker out there. But, hey, I mean, raised his percentage for shooting and contributed all that he could. Maybe he needs to shoot more threes. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be all for that. He only took 5 3-pointers in this game, and I would love to see him take a few more because he's a quality 3-point shooter. But again, you know, this is where I credit the Boston Celtics, and that's the other side of this. And you mentioned it, you know, it's like, yeah, a lot of people might be like, hey, he's our $47 million guy, and he's got to be the guy to take the pressure off. The Celtics knew that too.
Yeah.
And they made the shots difficult for him. They were rushing him, the off defenders, you know, Drew Holiday. And it was going at him a lot during this game. The Suns were trying to do their best to get advantageous switches, but there's not a lot of advantageous switches out there. When you have Drew Holiday and Derek White and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, Al Horford is the guy who got the start tonight because there was no Kristaps Porzingis. So, I mean, unless you could get a one-on-one with him, but the way that they rotate defensively, that's what I noticed today. You know, kind of sitting up here, you get a three-quarter view of the court. You're just watching the defensive rotations and how they can close out on the weak side. And, man, they're effing good.
And even when they don't, they got Luke Kornet. They got Luke Kornet, who just jumps up in the air like this, and it just tracks every single shot. And, again, when you make Luke Kornet look really good in the game offensively and defensively, you know he had a good night.
Exactly, exactly. Well, it's that time of the podcast. It's time for the subreddit stakeout.
The Sun's Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Where is she? I'm wearing the Batman mask. So I spent some time in Boston tonight, you know, park your car and have it, yeah, on the subreddit stakeout there. And, you know, fuck your mother and all that fun stuff. And I will say this, the subreddit stakeout for the Boston Celtics wasn't one where they were dogging the Phoenix Suns. This isn't a Western Conference team that is a rival. This is the Boston Celtics, who we play twice a year, and they're the number one team in the league. And all they did was, for the most part, bag their own team. I mean, so much anti-Jason Tatum stuff. It was ridiculous. But that being said, they did have a few comments here and there, and I'm here to share that with you, my fellow Jamsters. You know, you them fucking pricks. refs can eat a bag of dicks. Technical foul on my ass. Nurkic is their point guard, apparently. What the fuck? Jalen got so much free throw practice that he forgot about layups. I was down here. I got down here super early so I could watch shoot around. If you look at like the Instagram or the Suns Jam Session Twitter page, I posted some of the videos I took of Jason Tatum shooting beforehand. But Jalen Brown was down there for like 25 minutes shooting free throws, so I thought that was funny. Cookies are still good without the cream. I don't know what that meant. Bro, why does Bol Bol always look like an NBA player against us? I'll never understand why KD just doesn't shave his head like MJ. That bald spot looks so bad. Jason Tatum is the self-proclaimed best basketball player in the world and isn't even top three on his team right now. That was one of like 7,000 anti-Jason Tatum quotes. All my homies hate Grayson Allen. And I don't think I could name half of the Suns roster. Who is David Roddy?
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
There you go, Jamsters. I officially did it. I did the Batman in the Footprint Center. Things I never
Very
thought
risky.
In my life.
I saw that podcast security. Where the security guard was giving Matthew. Yeah, that pissed me off, dude.
Oh, man.
I'd be so mad about that.
He's like,
yeah, like credential, hello.
Yeah. The guy's like, nope, you're out of here. So,
good God. I need to talk to Matt Ishbia about that. I got you guys. Don't worry.
Hold on. John Tran, Batman, but make it Boston. Can you try? Ha ha. So, pack the cat, have it, yad. I don't know if I can do it like, pop the car and have it, yad. You fucking wanker. Now, see, like, I went British on there. That's not cool. That's not cool. Anything else that you saw from this game that you wanted to talk about, or any other segments that you wanted to do, Suns Geek?
Yes. I mean, I feel like we've done a good job of really covering it all. But I do just want to kind of read a few notes that I took here tonight. Please. First off, it really sucks that like we didn't get like a great Grayson Allen game, because I jumped on that dude's bandwagon, bro. I'll even be the first to admit it. Like, I was texting a buddy about it. I was like, and they were even talking about it on the broadcast. Apparently Frank Vogel said he didn't even think Grayson Allen was going to be like this good. He said he's better at like everything than he thought he was going to be, or something like that. Like, I'm paraphrasing there, but you get what I mean. He's surprised all of us. He's blown the expectations out of the water. So it just kind of sucks that like we got not a good Grayson Allen game. Now, again, maybe that was the Boston Celtics defense, or maybe that was just the Suns not going to him enough, or just, let's be real, sometimes the ball doesn't go in the basket.
Nah, it was the defense. It was the defense, yeah, that they were playing on him. They were not letting him get any space. But it brings me to an interesting stat.
You know what's that?
I don't want to do that one. Oh,
dang, stat me.
I tribute to Dave King right there. Yep. There's one stat, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'll paraphrase it. Grayson Allen this season is like top four all time shooting three-pointers and 3-point percentage for players who have shot over 300 threes in a season. He's top, yep, or for the in Phoenix Suns history, not all time, but in Phoenix Suns history. Yep. Number one all time, I forget. Number two all time was Joe Johnson back in 2004-05. I mean, it's just the clip that he, at which he's shooting is just absolutely ridiculous. So yeah, Frank Vogel's right. It's like to expect Grayson Allen to come in and shoot this well is unbelievable. So no, I completely agree with you there.
Yeah, no, again, just the season he's having. And speaking of that, I read on Bright Side of the Sun, check out brightsideofthesun.com, by the way, that the Phoenix, yep, that the Phoenix Suns, I just had the stat in front of me. Here it is. The Phoenix Suns are 7-2 when Grayson Allen reaches 20 points or more. And then that line was followed by keep feeding Allen and limit the turnovers. Even though, like you said earlier, it wasn't the worst turnover night for the Suns, we still had 15 turnovers. That's how I look at it anyways. You know what I mean? Frank Vogel said it early in the season, dude. He's like, turnovers are unacceptable. Don't really know where I was going with all that Grayson Allen and turnover talk, but it was just some stuff that I noted. And real quick, because I know we got some time to kill here, one of my little segments I wanted to do was a small little injury update. It's not going to change our season. Like, we're not going to see these guys for a while, but I thought it was noticeable. And you were at the game. You saw Devin Booker and everything warming up. He was warming up tonight. That's the first update. I'm not saying he could have gone out there and played, but like, he was shooting out there. He was looking pretty good. Real quick, before I go on with this injury segment, did you see anything from Devin Booker that I might have missed? Like, did you see anything or...
No, he looked fine. He's moving around laterally. I mean, all the things, he's checking all the boxes. I just think that Vogel, it's not the playoffs. I mean, and they said it last week that if it was a playoff game against the Denver Nuggets last Tuesday or whenever that game was, he would have been playing. So they're just being overly cautious with him, which is understandable. We're not in the postseason yet. If this is the postseason, it's a different story. But Frank Vogel is allowing him to fully recover in every capacity. So he was out there pregame, moving around, looking good. But they had announced right before the game that indeed he was going to be out for this game. So I'm guessing he's going to be back on Monday against Cleveland. That's my guess.
Yeah. And real quick, earlier when you were talking about the schedule, our last game of this road trip is against the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's a morning game. Just wanted to let people know that.
That's a 10 a.m. Arizona time game.
It's going to be a very early game. And real quick, you guys, before I go on with this injury segment, it's, again, this isn't going to like change our fortunes. We're probably not going to see a lot of these guys for a long time, but I feel like this is a little significant. I don't know what a PRP injection is, but apparently Nazir Little received that recently, and it's going to sideline him, quote, a week or so. But I still feel like that was a significant update. And then I'm sure you saw this, John, Damian Lee was in practice clothes shooting around. However, Frank Vogel said he's still a long ways away. But hey, I will take that update. Look, I know Damian Lee doesn't solve all of our problems. Let's pretend he was healthy. Let's use our imaginations for a minute. Pretend he was healthy. I know he doesn't solve all of our problems, but I'm sure he'd get us a couple more wins than we have now. That's how much of a believer I am in it. Like, could you imagine Damian Lee and Grayson Allen out there with this team? I'm just saying, I thought that was a big update. I was like, I have to talk about this.
So I can imagine Damian Lee having an impact in the minutes that Saden Lee is filling, because he's actually a capable scorer, and he's somebody who from the corner three could actually hit the shot. That's the challenge. Yeah. That's all you need him out there for. He's somebody who's going to, you know, but again, we're at that back end of the season, and he's going to have an opportunity to get in there. It's going to be really interesting if Damian Lee gets healthy
even
enough.
And if he does play, like, be a contributor, you know what I mean? That's how far away he probably is. But I was like, we have to at least mention this. Like, again, we don't spend too much time on it, but I had to talk about it.
No, I completely agree. And it's obviously, you know, Nasir Little, him being out is unfortunate, but he's, you know, not been a major contributor this year. He had a few good games at the front end of the season.
Yeah.
He's somebody who does have athleticism and does have the ability to you know,
muck
things up a little bit on the defense. But ultimately,
he won't be in our rotation.
Exactly. Whereas Damian Lee does have, I mean, I was having a conversation with a couple guys here before the game, and we're having that exact conversation. Is Damian Lee somebody who becomes a rotation guy if he comes back in enough time? And I think that he potentially could, because he gives you an elite skill set that, given the gravity that this team can create, he can, you know, if Kevin Durant's out there and Booker and Beal are both sitting, he's a guard and he can be in the corner and he can shoot the three ball effectively. So we shall see in time, but if he can somehow get back again, hearing that he's back in practice clothes and he's starting to get back to that point, that's a great, great news for the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. Damian Lee is somebody who we all appreciate what he did last year. Obviously, his confidence kind of went at the back of last season.
And yeah, after the All-Star break.
Yep. 100%. He started driving more than he started shooting three. So we don't know what Damian Lee we would get, but I'd be interested to see it. I'd be interested for the Suns to put him out there over Saban Lee any fucking day of the week and twice on Sundays, which is tomorrow, and it's daylight savings time. So I'm going to hand out some hardware real quick.
Jam star of the game.
I don't know if this one even is a debate. If anybody has a case for anybody other than Kevin Durant, I would absolutely love to hear it. Suns Geek, is it Kevin Durant? Is that your jam star of the game?
Yes, because Kevin Durant makes this team better, and the Suns were right to trade for Kevin Durant.
There we go. That's
that's the answer I should have had originally.
That's the fervor I like to hear. Who cares what people think, man? If they think I'm wrong, oh, well, I'm wrong. You know, guess what? It's okay to be wrong from time to time. Next up for the Phoenix Suns, we head out on a four-game road trip, as I mentioned a little bit earlier. First stop is Cleveland on Monday. Then we go to Boston. Then we go to Charlotte. And then we go to Milwaukee, as Suns Geek mentioned, to close out the four-game roadie, going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So this is a team that currently 41-22. They're the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. So the Suns get the first-best team in the Eastern Conference, then the second, and then the first again. We told you that the schedule was going to get harder, okay? Here it is. This is a team that has the second best defensive rating in the league and the sixth best net rating. Now, granted, they do have a little bit of injury issues right now. I know that Evan Mobley is out with an ankle injury. Matt Strus was out Friday against Minnesota. Yeah. Ty Jerome, old Ty Jerome, that's where he's at now.
You're a real one if you remember that.
Yeah, buddy. Donovan Mitchell was out last Monday.
He's been out for a while, too.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team that obviously is fighting for their spot in the Eastern Conference, but at the same time, you know, it's a tough defensive team, and those teams give us some chance. Hey, there's Derek White.
Hey.
In civilian clothes. What's he doing down there? Oh, he's guarding somebody. Oh, I blocked him. You did a great job, Derek. Get up here. Let me talk to you about bald heads, okay? Let's get into it, Derek. Cleveland, what are your thoughts?
So, look, I know that they kind of flamed out in last year's playoffs, and I know that the playoffs are a completely different ballgame, but we're talking about the regular season here. Here's what's scary about this Cavs team, and you absolutely nailed it. And ironically, it's kind of weird, the injuries. They still play extremely well despite being injured. Remember earlier in the season, they lost Darius Garland. Yep. They lost Darius Garland and Evan Mobley, I think, in the same day or week. And then they just, boom. That's the scary thing about the Cavs. And look, I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't watched as many Cavs games as I probably should, so I don't want to sound like an expert here. But go back and watch that fourth quarter against the Celtics the other night when Dean Wade just exploded. Like the fact that they're injured and have been this injured all year and are the what did you say, the second best team in the East? Like, I'm scared, dude. Like, they actually might give us a hard time, dude. But we'll have to see, one game at a time.
100%. It's you know, a team that they know how to win, and you know
they're well coached too, man. Despite some criticisms, they're well coached.
Yeah, they're well coached, just a complete team. And it's the first time that we play them this season, too. So we will be playing them on Wednesday, April 3rd, here at the Footprint Center, too. So like I said, it doesn't get any easier for Phoenix. So we'll see. Win or loss for the Suns in that game, Geek?
I hope the Suns learn their lesson from this game, and I hope they win. But it is not going to be easy. I could see it going down to the wire, but I got to pick a Suns win. We have to win. We have to win, like, every game pretty much.
Yes, Devin Booker returns, Suns win. You heard it right here on the Suns Chance Answer podcast. So
if he comes back, you got to clip that and upload it.
That's all we have on this edition of the Suns Jam Session podcast and the Suns Geek live feed. I don't know what you call your things. What do you call your
live
things?
show? I don't know.
It's the live show with show, the Suns show. Geek. Yeah. So make sure, again, subscribe, rate, review, hit thumbs up on both channels if you can. If you want to leave a 5-star review, and only a 5-star review, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify under Suns Jam Session, please do so. Help support the pod however you can. We truly appreciate it. Appreciate everyone who spent some time after this game to hang out with both Brandon and myself. Looking forward to talking to you guys live again on Monday after the Suns play the Cleveland Cavaliers. That game starts at like 4:30 Arizona time, so... Those East Coast swings, I kind of like them, but I'm like, shit, I got to get off work at 4 just to get home to watch the game because I'm covering that one for Brightside as well. So make sure you read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. You can follow me at Darth Voida on Twitter. You can follow the show at Suns Jam on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all those places. Geek, tell them where they can follow you.
At Suns Geek on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, all that good stuff. Search Suns Geek and you will find me.
There you go, Jamsters. Again, thank you ever so much for hanging out. We'll see you later. As Matthew Lissy likes to say,
Go home and love your families.
There you go. Well done.